This morning is going to be very salvation heavy, and hopefully everyone here is saved. Hopefully everybody watching is saved. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart, so if someone needs to hear it, and maybe they're not here, maybe you can take some of this back and speak to that individual. But the Lord set it up this way for a reason. So if you will, we're going to start in John, and I would keep your place in John. We're going to be in there a lot. So John 14, I'm going to give everybody a second to turn there. I know in Sunday school, Don made a mention. He said, I'm sorry, I know I have you guys turning everywhere. And then I felt really bad because I'm just going to make it worse. And so, but it's a blessing when the Lord gives you scripture. And, you know, we talked about this when we were with the pulpit committee, and we mentioned how we are spoiled. We have a lot of good teachings from Pastor and Micah, and there's a lot of scripture that's given out. And then thankfully, when someone says, turn here, you hear a lot of pages rustling. You hear people turning. And so if someone is up here preaching something wrong, somebody's going to catch it. And that's a blessing. So, but all right, John 14, we're going to read in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, just come before you today. I want to thank you for the day you've given us so far, even though it's early, Lord. I want to thank you for the Sunday school messages that we heard. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to preach and teach when you have something for me to give out, Lord. And just ask that you be with all your services this morning, that your will be accomplished and your word be preached. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, this is a very important verse, and we're going to be going over a lot of salvation verses. Hopefully, this is stuff that everyone has heard, but we're going to put them together, put them in conjunction, and realize why this verse in particular can be so important, right? You can springboard into this when you're talking to someone. And I do know, growing up, speaking with friends, we'd go to church all the time, and it'd be like, man, we just hear the same messages over and over again, right? We hear about Jesus, we preach about Jesus, and it's boring. Hopefully that's not your heart this morning, right? Because there's always something new to learn. It's a story that should never get old, and it's always something we need to hear, and there's always something you can glean from that. So hopefully that's not you this morning. You know, when you have something to rejoice about, we should talk about it a lot. So I want to give a little context of why this verse is so important. So first, I'm going to let you know that we're going to break this down. Micah likes to throw this out there. Three-point message. He's a teacher, right? It shows. He likes to have a three-point message. Your Bible likes to do that too. So right here you have, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So God set that up so that you can look at these things and say, okay, there's something on each one of these things that I should be able to compare some scripture with. Okay? But something that gets overlooked is just how this verse starts. And I want to give you a little bit of background on that. So we're going to go to the Old Testament. If you will, turn to Exodus 3. I'm going to read a little bit of a lengthy bit of scripture here, but we're going to start in verse 1. So Exodus 3, verse 1. And it says, speaking of Moses here, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, and the God of Abraham, and God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrow, and I came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a good land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And this is really where I want to look right here, verse 13 and 14. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So, interesting phrasing, right? I am that I am. And just, your Bible does a wonderful job to set things up to notice things are different. So hopefully that phrase is capitalized in your Bible, so you know there's some importance there. That's a name of God or a name of Jesus. But if you look back in verse 4, and this is why I started all the way back there, and this is, it says, And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, to God called him to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. So God's calling Moses, and Moses' response, it says, and he said, Here am I. He didn't say, Here I am. There's a difference. In the next two verses down in verse 6, when God is speaking, he says, Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father. So God puts that distinction in there. And then in verse 11, and Moses said unto God, Who am I? Right? Which I know that's proper English. But every time in this particular verse, and you can find other places in your Old Testament where they say, I am, right, in speaking about themselves. But it's interesting how your Bible lays this out, right? It put emphasis in where the words are placed. And it says, I am that I am. So, taking into consideration, hopefully you held your place in John, and we think about that verse, where it started. I told y'all to hold your place, and I didn't hold my place. In the first two words of the verse, John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, this is Jesus' first words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, I want to set that up as a background to realize why this verse is so important, is Jesus and what he's saying here, right? He's making a reference back to this moment in your Old Testament. And when he says, I am, and you'll see later, there are a lot of times that he does do that. There's always some great importance. So, let's get in here and break this down. So first, you need to find out the way, right? So, I'm going to look right here. I'm going to read, stay here in verse 14. I'm going to actually read starting in verse 1, 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Sorry, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that ye may also be, or be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So God is saying that he's the way. And you have Thomas in verse 5 here. It says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And then you have our verse. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. So Jesus lets you know right there, he is the way. And you might be, you know, if you're not saved this morning, the way to what? And it's salvation. So you need to figure out what salvation is, right? So you need to understand the power in Jesus. So if you will, if you turn to Acts 4. And it's funny, this morning in Sunday school and pastor and even our memory verse, everybody was hitting all around where I was going some of the same verses, so you know it's of God. But Acts 4, we're going to read verse 12. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. So, Jesus Christ's name, that's how you get saved. You think, why do I need to be saved, right? If you will, turn to Romans 3. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? And I'm not even going to expound on that. We're going to go right into Romans 6. I tried to put some of these in order to make it easier. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, there's salvation in no other name but Jesus. You have to understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me. That's everyone in here. That's everyone outside of here. That's everybody. We've all sinned. So we've all come short. And then you find out, what's the consequence of sin? Death. And that's just not death physically, right? That's spiritual death as well. So that's, you're bound for hell if you don't have Jesus. And that's what a lot of people are afraid to say, and that's what a lot of people are afraid to preach. Because that's negative. But that is, it is what it is. That's what the Bible says. So, 2 Corinthians is our next verse here. 2 Corinthians 5. This is going to give you a little bit of breakdown. We're breaking down this verse in John 14:6. But we're also looking, as we go through this verse, you're going to get multiple verses where it talks about Jesus' work on the cross and salvation, right? Because they all are interlinked. So we're going to read here 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to start in verse 17. Ooh, I think I wrote down the wrong. Oh, I'm in 1 Corinthians this way. My apologies. So 2 Corinthians 5, starting in 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I'm going to keep going. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's salvation. Jesus bore everybody's sins on the cross. He died on the cross. He bled. He rose again. And then the Trinity, right? He is God and the Son of God at the same time. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all one, all different. It's one of the great mysteries. I wish I could expound on that a little more, but that's beyond my knowledge, right? But I know that's what your Bible says. And then we have a really great picture here in Acts. If you'll turn back, Acts 8. And I'll just say, the verse I'm about to read, I hope everybody's Bible has it in there, because some of them don't. So if I'm reading and you get lost, then we may need to talk about that afterwards. But Acts 8, we're going to start in verse 26. To give a little bit of background, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? Sometimes questions can be a good thing, right? I mean, that's how we learn. And he said, How can I except a man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generations? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, there came unto it a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And in verse 37, And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, and this is the eunuch's confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then he gets baptized and they go on their way. But you have this very clear confession. So salvation, you have to hear the word of God. To a lost person, sometimes it sounds like foolishness. We may not understand what we're reading, right, or what we're hearing. But then someone preaches to you Jesus, there's a confession. You have to admit, I'm a sinner. I can't do it myself. And I need Jesus. And when you make that confession, you're saved, right? And salvation is, you're saved. You will die physically, but not spiritually. You have a place in heaven, in that verse where God says, I go to prepare a place for you, right? Jesus is preparing a place for you, and salvation gives you access to that. It saves your soul eternally. And it's not something you can lose. So I'm very clear about that. It's not something that you can lose. I have here in my notes, and I don't want to get on a rant, but I will say Jesus is the only way to heaven. You have all kinds of false religions and false teachings out there that tell you to pray or worship the teachings of Buddha or Joseph Smith or Mary Baker Eddy or the Pope even, right? No one can cleanse you of your sins except Jesus. It's not religion, it's Jesus Christ. And a lot of people, when they find out, you know, you go to church or you teach Sunday school or maybe you get up there and preach, like, oh, you're a religious person. I would prefer not to be associated with some of these religious people. So it's a relationship you have with Christ. And he's the only one that can save you. And it's nothing that you do, and it's nothing that those men did, or ladies, because otherwise it would contradict with where we're going to go next, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 8. Ephesians 2, it says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because I'm going to tell you right now, these people right here that I mentioned, they boast. They talk about how much money they have. They talk about, I've had this many people pray to me. I've had this many people saved. That's not what it's about. Right? It's a gift. And I will tell you, sometimes the most rewarding thing, and I don't know if anyone's ever done it, on occasion, right, you give a gift anonymously. You're not around when the people receive it. You don't let them know, right? And you get blessings from that, right? Because it's a gift. You don't need any kind of praise. You're doing it for the wrong reason. And so if you could work your way to heaven, you would boast and say, look how good I am, right? Jesus Christ didn't sin. He was the only one that achieved that in his life. And he didn't boast. In fact, he put himself on the cross for others. It's the complete opposite of boasting. So, Jesus is the way to heaven. I'm going to go to Matthew 7. Hopefully y'all's fingers aren't tired yet because we're on point one. So chapter 7, we're going to start here in verse 13. We're just going to read 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. For many there be which go in. Then verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So, right here, you're saying broad is the way to destruction. Narrow is the way to life, right? Well, that narrow way is Jesus. And he's the only way to get there. If you follow all these other teachings and all this other nonsense, then you'll find one of the gates, but it's not going to be the narrow gate. So, hopefully here you understand our first point. Jesus is the way. Right? And I alluded to some of this. Some of these verses do have other points kind of weaved into them, but I'm focusing on what that point is. So, we're going to look at our second point here. It's truth. And to give a little background when I was thinking about this, right? You guys, what is truth, right? You ask that question. And we're going to look through and see that Jesus is truth, God's word is truth, God is truth. The world has some crazy, crazy thoughts on truth, right? And so, in speaking with people, and this is a philosophy of the world, is what's your truth, right? You make your own truth. Well, in the world, my truth might be different than Pastor's truth, right? And no, that's okay. You know, we can think differently. And, well, what one of us is wrong. No, that's his truth. What does that mean? Anything goes? Whatever you just feel like doing, oh, that's my truth. I get away with it, right? We just went through a month, and I don't want to harp on this, but apparently you can have your truth. You can just tell people what you are, right? It doesn't matter what you were born and what God made you. You just tell people what you want to be. Well, I wish I was, you know, a millionaire and had plenty of money and all that. It ain't happening, right? Hopefully, God would use that money not just to profit me anyway. But you understand what I'm saying, right? This notion that we can just be or do whatever we want to be, that's not how it works, okay? As far, and you understand what I mean. You can work hard. You can be what you want to be, like career-wise or personality-wise. You can work on things. But I mean this nonsense that we went through the last month. And then a little bit of a sad story, but it fits in. Brandon and myself were just killing some time between services one day. And we said, you know, we're going to go fishing out there at the marina. And so we go fishing down there. And lo and behold, somebody we know just happened to be biking by. Oh, hey, Jonathan. Hey, Brandon. And they had a friend with them. Well, that friend was an unsaved man. And he was one of these people, believe in your own truth, we're all our own gods, okay? And so he was asking questions, we were answering them, went back and forth, opened our Bibles, and we had some tracts we gave him, and we talked to him for a couple hours. And you learned, you know, he had these visions, and most of them had to do when he was doing drugs, right? And you let these evil spirits in. Don talked a lot about these spirits this morning. And so, you know, he thought that he saw God, and God told him all this stuff, right? And it was contrary to what the Bible said. And we got so wrapped up going back and forth that we actually missed the night service. And it was about 30 minutes in, and I think Brandon texted Micah what was going on. And but it was a good conversation we had with him, and it was less than a year later that young man passed away of an overdose. And I mean, I don't know his heart after we talked to him, unfortunately. So hopefully that seed was watered and he eventually got saved, but you don't know. I mean, he was very rooted in the world, and he believed his own truth. So, but if you will, if you'll go to John 8. Like I said, we're going to be spending a lot of time in John, so John 8. And we're going to read verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So I know we are here this morning as our memory verse, and I'm going to admit something bad. I didn't look at our memory verse this last week. And so Pastor called up the memory verse, and I was like, oh no, I don't know the memory verse. And then when he said the reference, I was like, oh, I know the memory verse. So, but anyway, you know, that just means the Lord wanted us here. But, you know, it says, "And the truth shall make you free." And it says in verse 33, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage of any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." So, brief thing on this, all have sinned, right? Compare that with this verse right here. Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. So we're all in bondage when we sin, which is every one of us. And the only way to be free is through Jesus Christ, right? And then if you look here in verse 31, it says, "If you continue in my word," and you don't have to turn there, but John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." So that's speaking of Jesus Christ. So if you continue in Jesus Christ, in verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus Christ is the truth. In here, in this Bible, you have the way you should live, what's right, what's wrong, what to do, how to get blessings from God. The fact God will chasten you if you do things outside of his will, right? So sometimes bad things happen because Satan is trying to ruin your testimony. Sometimes things happen because the Lord's trying to wake you up. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you pray about it, you'll know the difference. Because I know from personal experience, when I'm not walking with the Lord, he lets me know. And it's better that I just confess it and just own up to it and fix it. Because if the Lord has to fix it, it's like when your parents have to fix something. It's never, never good for you. But it makes you better. So, we're going to go to John 16. So keep moving forward in the book of John. We're going to look here in verse 12. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." And it may sound confusing. That's talking about the Holy Spirit showing you truth in God's Word. Well, God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son, Jesus Christ. They're all the same. They're all one. They're all different, right? So, once again, God is truth. I went here because you have different spirits. And it's funny, I didn't speak to Don. I didn't know he was going to go on spirits this morning. So, for time's sake, I suggest that you go back and listen to it. There's different spirits, right? I'll give you a couple references if you want to write them down. In Isaiah 19:3, you have the spirit of Egypt, which is a picture of the world. In Matthew 10:1, you have unclean spirits, which are demons. Isaiah 8:9, you have familiar spirits, which is witchcraft. And then in 2 Timothy 1:7, you have a spirit of fear. All those spirits are derived from Satan, right? Whether it be lies, deceit, anything like that. That's what the world uses, right? It's that spirit of Egypt in Isaiah 19:3. The world will try to bring you down, and they'll try to do it with fear. Few people have talked about this. When you watch the news, they get money by their ratings and how many people are watching. So what do? They instill fear into people, right? And then you want to keep going back and watching it more because I have to know what's going on. I have to know what's going on in the world because that way I'm ready. I'm prepared. Satan does the same thing. He wants you to fear, and that way that's what you're focused on, and you're not focused on the spirit that God has given you. So, not too far over, John 17:17. So John 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Backing up further, God's word is truth, and going back to John 1, Jesus is the word, right? So, I wrote down here, the world doesn't operate in absolutes. Everywhere you go, they like to operate in this gray area, right? In the current position I'm in with my job, I was told there's a gray area that I'm going to have to operate in, okay? It's like, okay, well, you know, I don't really know what exactly that's going to be. And I'm dealing with independent contractors and things like that. Come to find out, you know what works really well? Telling them the truth. Works really well. I didn't know how to go about it. My first couple of weeks, I was fumbling through things. I was like, I don't know what I should say, what I shouldn't say. And I was like, you know what? Hey, here's the facts. Here's the truth. And wouldn't you know it, things start getting fixed. And I was like, man, it took me 2 weeks to realize that when your Bible says it. Just tell the truth. Things will get fixed. But no, the world doesn't operate in absolutes, right? They don't want to tell you what's right. They don't want to tell you what's wrong. It's your own truth. You have these science books that tell you how the world was made based on an unobservable theory. How is that truth? They can't prove it. They can't even try to duplicate it. And they can find nothing that actually substantiates it. But we're gonna teach that in our schools as truth. I'm going to tell you right now, God does not operate in a gray area. God operates in absolutes. So I just wrote down a couple here that just came to my mind when I was doing this. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. That is an absolute. God says, basically, I am the beginning. In that following, right along suit with that, God has created everything. No evolution, no mistakes. God created it for a reason and a purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ has power to save you, save your soul from death and hell. That's an absolute. That's not a maybe. And then, nothing and no one can forgive or cleanse sins except the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you believe on Him, you have eternal life. And that belief is not something that can be taken away. And I was going to hit on this a little bit later. A sad thing when you ask even some Christians, if you die today, do you know where you're going? And say, well, I think I'd make it to heaven. Or, I hope I do. Right? God gives us absolutes. And we're going to hit some of those verses. If you will, go to back, or we're in John. Go to John 6. So, We've learned Jesus is the way, the truth. Now we're going to look at life. See, I scared everybody. You guys thought I was going to spend 20 minutes on each point. Hopefully you didn't have that spirit of fear. So we're going to look here in verse 32. So John 6, 32. And we're going to read all the way to 35. Then said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? I was in 30. 32. And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses, so we have this throwback to Moses from earlier, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread of heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus is the bread of life. He said earlier, or we read earlier, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he says, I'm that bread of life. I'm going to skip down here if you'll go to verse 47. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. And so what he's throwing back to is the Israelites, when they were traveling in the wilderness, the Lord would rain this manna down from heaven and they had to go collect it. And manna is like this bread wafer. So he's using something that happened from that time to compare now. He's saying, I am the bread of life. That bread fed them physically, but not spiritually. And that's what this is all about, right? You will die physically, unless we're one of the lucky ones that are raptured up. But spiritually, you can have life. So 1 Corinthians 15. I appreciate everybody keeping up. We're just going to read verse 22. For in Adam all died. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So, in the beginning of the world, you had Adam and Eve, and sin entered into the world through Adam, ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I just kind of want to hit on this real quick. It's a side note. I don't want to chase a rabbit hole, right? But they ate of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, but all they had was good, right? So, just something to think about. They knew what good was, because it was all around them. They just didn't know what evil was. They didn't know the distinction. So when they knew that distinction, suddenly the temptation is there, because there was no temptation to do evil. So don't put those things before your eyes, right? Just don't fall for that temptation. Surround yourself with good things. So that was a side note. Really wanted to focus on the fact that salvation comes through Jesus Christ, who then pays for that sin that Adam brought into the world so that we can be saved. And then if you'll go with me to 1 John 5. I'm going to read verse 11. So 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son, a Son of God, hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on his name, on the name of the Son of God, and that in this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. I went here because, once again, you have eternal life through his Son. and in verse 13, that you know that you have eternal life. So when you're speaking with someone, and doubt can creep in. It doesn't matter how strong of a Christian you are, doubt can and will creep in. It's part of it. And when that happens, this is a verse you can go back to for yourself or someone else to say that you know that you have eternal life. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you know where you're going when you die. Let me tell you how much of a comfort that is. Because no matter what crazy things happen, I know where I'm going. Right? And that should give you boldness. Because am I going to get persecuted if I go talk to somebody? Are they going to hate me? What happens if I'm out witnessing and someone pulls a gun? Right? These crazy things can happen in the crazy world we live, but I know where I'm going. And we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel, and we should give it out. And if we're afraid of those things, we let that spirit of fear rule us. And I love verse 14, just how it starts. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. I am not typically a confident person, just to be honest with you all, right? I talk a big game. I have two brothers. The trash talk is terrible, right? Any competition, oh yeah, you're going down. I'm going to beat you. I'm the best at this, blah, 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 blah. And I know I'm going to lose. But I can't let them see it, right? And so we used to run 5Ks with Micah and my older brother. I don't know how tall Micah is, but it looks like he's pretty much the same size as my brother Christopher. They're both like 6 foot. I'm 5'5", depending on what shoes I'm wearing, right? And I'm out there running, and the day before the race, how do you guys feel? And I was like, oh, you guys are losing this time? I'm going to win, right? Meanwhile, I'm out there, the race starts, I'm dying, just trying to keep up with them, right? So I joke around, it makes it more fun, but I'll tell you something I am confident in. I'm confident in where I'm going when I die. I'm confident that when Pastor throws a curveball and wants me to preach 2 days or 2 weeks back to back, the Lord will give me something, right? Because that's the confidence we have in the Lord. And you'll be surprised the boldness you have when you start talking to somebody. The Holy Spirit will bring those scriptures back to remembrance, and you'll be able to lead people to the Lord, not of nothing of yourself, but it's all through Him, right? So I'm not confident in myself, but I'm confident in the Lord. So I'm going to give you guys two more verses. If you will, go to Acts 2. We're going to read here verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to go right into Romans 10. So if you will, turn to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So, hearing this message, if you're an unsaved individual, would you be one of those whosoever? Would you call on the name of the Lord? Whether it be online, you're hearing this message, if you're here this morning, or you know someone that needs to hear this, I'm a whosoever. I call on the name of the Lord. But I was a sinner before, and I had to admit that. And then, if you need help, you want to go through scriptures, there's plenty of people here. You can come ask me, Pastor, Don. I mean, there's plenty of people. If you want to go through scripture, we can walk you through that plan of salvation. Now, as a saved individual, hopefully you've heard most of this, if not all of this, before. Maybe not quite in the same method, but hopefully you know this. But what I want to glean from this, because my style, and I say my style, but what the Lord typically uses me to preach, normally I dig into a verse that's kind of strange, I research it out, and then find some Bible truth from this very strange verse, right? These are not strange or foreign verses, they're more common verses. But when I finish this, and I was like, Lord, someone must need to be saved. and I was thinking about this, this came to mind. And I realized this whole message, this 30 or 40 minutes, has been derived off one verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? And it was based off of the fact that the Lord Jesus says, I am. So I'm going to give you a few references. John 6:35, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10:9, I am the door. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. And John 15:1, I am the true vine. So if all these verses can be gleaned by one time, Jesus says, I am, one verse, what else is there in all these other verses? So as a saved individual, this may have been for me more than anybody to look and say, how much more can I glean from verses that I thought I knew and thought I could put together just from this? So hopefully you can see that, and maybe someone will take that up and maybe come up here and preach a message. Who knows? But if you would, let's pray this morning. So, Heavenly Father, just once again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to give out your word, Lord. And I just ask that we be bold in giving out your word, and that we understand that the way to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And just ask that you give us opportunity to preach that or teach that or speak to someone, Lord, that needs to hear that. And just ask that ultimately we see souls saved, Lord, that people know they're on their way to heaven and that people can have confidence in you. Just ask that you be with all the messages being preached this morning and tonight. And I ask that you bring everybody back here at your next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.